to try and say something on this very auspicious occasion of the appearance of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. Of course, they asked Prabhupada once, can you say something about your spiritual master? Tell us something about your spiritual master. And Srila Prabhupada simply looked at devotee and in a beaming smile he said, what can I say about my spiritual master? He was a Vaikuntha man. That's how Prabhupada summarized Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. So today I will try to say something, some pastimes, some lessons we can learn from the life of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. And just hearing these wonderful narrations will immediately bring us closer to Krishna. Actually, Bhaktisiddhanta, just while I wait for the verse, just say a few things about hearing class, because Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur was very, very insistent that devotees really hear the morning class very attentively. Hearing Krishna Katha was a priority for Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. In fact, one time one of the devotees who were living outside, he was a disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj had realized he wasn't coming to the class. And then Bhaktisiddhanta was in a dialogue with him explaining the importance of the class. And then he made a very, very famous statement. He said to this man who wasn't coming to the class, he said, hearing of Harikatha must go on. And then he looked at the man and he said, and if you tell me you cannot hear Harikatha because your son is dying, then my response to you is, let your son die, but Harikatha must go on. So this was how insistent Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur was that devotees hear the class. In fact, when he was giving class once in Vrindavan, one devotee was sitting in front of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj while he was giving class and he was falling asleep, as happens to many of us, especially myself. And Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj chastised that devotee like anything. He said, I'm sitting here, I'm speaking the words of Krishna, I'm reading the commentaries of the acharyas, all the acharyas are present in this room, and you're embarrassing me by sleeping. And then he ordered the devotees to get hold of that one devotee who was sleeping and throw him in Radhakund. So anyone who sleeps today will throw you in the lake. And even Srila Prabhupada, actually, once he was in a class where Bhaktisiddhanta was speaking and he didn't speak, but the person next to him asked Srila Prabhupada a question, and Prabhupada kind of looked at this person, and immediately Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj caught on that they weren't paying attention, and Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj shouted at Srila Prabhupada and he said, why are you not hearing properly? If you think you know more than me, then you come up here and give the class. He was so heavy about hearing. But he did note Srila Prabhupada. He said, I have noted this abbe. He hears very nicely. And Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, very much appreciated that devotees who can sit in the class and hear very nicely is a wonderful service to give your ears to Krishna Katha. Because in the class, what are we doing? When we come here every morning and hear the class, all our doubts are being removed. By hearing Krishna's words, we're instilling ourselves with the determination to continue. When we leave this room and we go out and do so many things, there's so many temptations to divert from the path of devotional service. So when we're here and we're hearing, is strengthening our determination. And ultimately, when we hear the class, we're really developing a taste, because how much can you continue on spiritual life without developing a taste? So by hearing, we're developing some love for Krishna. Again, I once also told this story about how Srila Bhaktisiddhanta again was giving class, and one person walked in, walked straight past Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, who was giving class, went to the deities, bowed down, gave a little donation, and then walked straight back past him and was just about to exit. And just as he was to exit, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj again shouted at him. And he looked at him and he said, "How was your eye massage?" So this person looked around, he's like a little shocked, you know what I mean? I come to take darshan. Bhaktisiddhanta says, "How was your eye massage?" And then Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said to him, "Do not think that you can see Krishna with these eyes. No, you cannot see because we have material conditioning, very deep. So do not think you can see Krishna with these eyes. You have to see Krishna through the ears. Because the process of devotional service is here, by hearing, Ridyanta Stohya Bhadrani, all the anarthas in the heart become removed. And when all the anarthas in the heart become removed, then Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Karaya Yodoy. Then all the Krishna Prem, the love for Krishna that is within the heart awakens. And when that love awakens for Krishna, and then when one sees the deities with love in their heart, then they're really seeing the deities. Otherwise, you cannot see Krishna. Therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta, in his very famous statement, said, "Do not try to see Krishna, but act in such a way that Krishna will want to see you." Shri Radha Gokula Nanda ki jai. Wow, that was quiet. I just said, act in such a way that Krishna will want to see you, and then the curtains close. So maybe Krishna is not so happy with me. So today, what I thought is, we'll analyze the life of Bhaktivinoda Thakur within a framework. What we're really seeing from the life of the pure devotees is that it's a life of surrender to Krishna. Ultimately, we're all in this room and we know the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, "Mamekam saranam braja," that surrender unto me alone. So that's what we're seeking in this life. Again, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj would say, you've given so many lives to the material energy. You've given so many lives to fulfilling your material desires. Now give just one life to Krishna. So in this life, we're really trying to come to this point of surrender. And this surrender is explained in a very nice verse. Originally, this verse is found in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, obviously written by Sanatan Goswami. It was obviously popularized further by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who wrote a book of songs entitled Sharanagati, in which he broke down this verse and explained many different aspects of it. And today what we're reading is this verse, which is quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And it will describe what a surrendered devotee really is. And then what we'll do is we'll look at the characteristics of a surrendered devotee, and then we'll look at the life of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and see how we can also move closer to this surrender ourselves in our own life. So, I'll chant the invocation for Chaitanya Charitamrita since we're reading from there. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So if everyone can repeat after me, we're reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 22, entitled The Process of Devotional Service. And we're reading from text number 100. Is this too loud? So if everyone can repeat line after me. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam rakshishyati ti vishvaso gopritve varanam tatha Atmani kshepa karpanye shadvida sharanagati anukulyasya sankalpa, pratikulyasya varjanam, rakshishyati iti vishvaso, gautritve varanam tata, atmani kshepakarpanye, sadvida sharanagati, anukulyasya sankalpa, pratikulyasya varjanam, rakshishyati iti vishvaso, gautritve varanam tata, atmani kshepakarpanye, sadvida sharanagati. Sadvida saranagati. Mothers. Yasya sankalpa. Vidivishvaso. Guptritve varanam tatha. Atmani kshepa karpanye, sadvida saranagati, nishishati iti vishvasa, bhavitvaiva nantata. Anukulyasya. Of anything that assists devotional service to the Lord. Sankalpa. Acceptance. Pratikulyasya. Of anything that hinders devotional service. Varjanam, complete rejection. Rakshishyati, he will protect. Iti, thus. Vishvasa, strong conviction. Gautritve, in being the guardian, like the father or the husband, master or maintainer. Varanam, acceptance. Tatha, as well as. Atmani kshepa, full self-surrender. Karpanye, and humility. Sadvida, sixfold. Sharanagati, process of surrender. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The six divisions of surrender are the acceptance of those things favorable to devotional service, the rejection of unfavorable things, the conviction that Krishna will give protection, the acceptance of the Lord as one's guardian or master, full self-surrender, and humility. Purport. One who is fully surrendered is qualified with the following six characteristics. 1. The devotee has to accept everything that is favorable for the rendering of transcendental loving service to the Lord. 2. He must reject everything unfavorable to the Lord's service, This is also called renunciation. 3. A devotee must be firmly convinced that Krishna will give him protection. No one else can actually give one protection, and being firmly convinced of this is called faith. This kind of faith is different from the faith of an impersonalist who wants to merge into the Brahman effulgence in order to benefit by cessation of repeated birth and death. A devotee wants to remain always in the Lord's service. In this way, Krishna is merciful to his devotee and gives him all protection from the dangers found on the path of devotional service. 4. The devotee should accept Krishna as his supreme maintainer and master. He should not think that he is being protected by a demigod. He should depend only on Krishna, considering him the only protector. The devotee must be firmly convinced that within the three worlds, he has no protector or maintainer other than Krishna. 5. Self-surrender means remembering that one's activities and desires are not independent. The devotee is completely dependent on Krishna, and he acts and thinks as Krishna desires. 6. The devotee is meek and humble. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om agyan timirandhasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhistam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamai ham nidati svapadantikam vandeham shri gura shri jata padakamalan shri gurun vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ranganathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha kalpaturu vyascha kripa sindhu vyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare So here in this verse is being outlined what real surrender really is. 6 different characteristics are given. And as I said, what we'll do today is I'll go through each of the 6 of the characteristics, pick out some pastimes and some interactions and instructions by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj on these 6 aspects, and maybe a chance for all of us also to contemplate in our own life how much we are also meeting up to these 6 characteristics that constitute full sharanagati or surrender to Krishna. So, in the verse, as you can see, the first line, Anukulyasya Sankalpa. This is the first aspect of surrender, that the devotee is learning to use everything in the service of Krishna. Everything means even things that people may consider to be material. Often, we distribute books on the street, and people who have read the books, often I meet them again and they ask, how is it that he's talking about Srila Prabhupada, how is it that he is supposed to be a saintly person, but he's driving around in cars, he has very nice watches, you know, even when sometimes people come to the manor and I show them to Prabhupada's bathroom, they kind of like, I'm telling them that this is the, you know, the saint, the renounced monk who founded this movement, and these are his rooms, and they're looking around and they're thinking, this looks more like the queen's rooms. But so people are often bewildered, how is it that saintly people can be engaging so much with the material energy? Of course, this complete understanding is given by Rupa Goswami of Yukta Vairagya, that anything in this world is not inherently good or bad, but it simply depends how you use it. And we often give the example of a knife. Is a knife good or bad? Can anyone answer? It could be either. It depends how you use it. In the hand of a criminal, it could cause significant damage to another person. But in the hand of an expert surgeon, that same knife can actually save someone's life. So in the same way, in the life of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, this could be one of the major elements that we see, how he was able to use everything in Krishna's service. Of course, sadhus of that time, they would... Like, I'll give you one example. Sadhus of that time, they would walk everywhere. And at best, they would ride on an ox cart. But for the service of Krishna, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was willing to use all kinds of automobiles and all kinds of transport. In fact, at that time in Vrindavan, you couldn't even see a car. You just wouldn't see it. All you would see is bullock carts, and not even so many of those. But Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, when he took his parikram of devotees, there were thousands of devotees, he drove right past Radha Kund with 5 lorries. And he himself arrived in a car, full of prasadam for all the devotees. Because he was teaching that it doesn't matter. You can use all of these things, but are you using them for Krishna? That's the question. Sadhus of that time, they wouldn't wear any kind of sewn cloth. But Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, when he would go for preaching engagements, he would dress lavishly. In fact, in one Brahmachari disciple remembers when he went to an engagement in Madras, then Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he turned up in a very opulent car to this preaching engagement. He kind of came out of the car and he had a long gown with silk robes. He had shoes, black English shoes. He had this specially made turban, and he kind of walked out. And when he walked out, one devotee was also holding an umbrella over him. So he walked into this preaching engagement dressed like this. Why? Because he was explaining that I don't need any of these things, but the people that I'm going to preach to, if they see me like this, then it gives me credibility. And if I have credibility, then I can give them spiritual knowledge. So for that end and for that purpose, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was willing to accept all of these things. Of course, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj also was very expert at using all kinds of technology for Krishna. And probably the most prominent of that is the printing press. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was very, very keen to print as many books as possible and to distribute them widely. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was very interested in propaganda work, and therefore he had all of these printing presses installed in different places in India where mass publication of transcendental literature would go on. In one of his temples, he was so bold that what he did was, right behind the deity altar, he installed a huge printing press, right just a stone's throw away from the deities. And I don't know if anyone here has ever been to a printing press, but it's very noisy. I mean, extremely noisy. And if you think of the printing presses of the 1900s, then you can imagine how loud it was. They compared the noise to a locomotive train. And Bhaktisiddhanta installed one just right behind the altar where the deities were. And then What was even more controversial than that is that he would allow the press to function for 24 hours of the day. So even when the curtains had closed and the deities were taking rest, the printing would be going on. And you can imagine how loud it was. And then many devotees complained. They said, how can you do this? The deities are taking rest and you've installed this printing press which is so loud. I mean, how can the deities take rest? And then Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj looked at them and he said, this sound of the printing press is just like a sweet, melodious kirtan. Because if you think about kirtan, what is kirtan? Kirti means fame, and kirtan means that which increases the fame. So he said, this printing press, this sound is just like a sweet kirtan, because the glories of Krishna are being produced and these glories will be spread all across the universe, all across the world. And therefore it's just like a sweet kirtan. So Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he would obtain these printing presses and he would install them. In fact, just like we install deities, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj would have a ceremony to install a printing press. And also Srila Prabhupada took on this mood once when they took Srila Prabhupada to one of the BBT printing houses. And Prabhupada was going there for the first time. So Prabhupada opened the door, and as soon as he saw this 80-foot long printing press, Prabhupada just went down and paid full dandavats. And then devotees were all a bit bewildered, so they all paid dandavats. So there's all these 30 devotees just paying dandavats in front of this printing press. And then there was one man there, and he was just like, you know, he was a devotee. And I mean, he was really bewildered. He was like, what's going on here? You know, it's like some kind of funny worship. And then the devotees asked everyone after, the devotees asked Prabhupada after, they said, Prabhupada, why did you pay obeisances? You know? And Prabhupada said, yes, why not? This printing press is just like an incarnation of Vyasadeva. So Prabhupada had that vision that Vyasadeva is printing the literatures and spreading the glories. So like this, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was expert at using everything in Krishna's service. Now move on to some even more controversial things than that. The Gaudiya Math, they had taken up the project of renovating one Sri Vaishnav temple in India. Some of you may have been there, Alalanath, there's a very famous temple there. So the Gaudiya Math, they had taken up the responsibility to renovate the temple. So then what happened is that the workers that Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj had employed, they were very good, they were hard working, but they had one bad habit. And that bad habit was they were addicted to bidis, which is basically the Indian version of cigarettes. So they would need to have a regular cigarette break to carry on the work. But Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, this is actually, this is documented by Rupa Vilas Prabhu in his book, that Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was so eager that this temple must be renovated so that people can come here and worship nicely, that it said that Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was personally rolling the biddies for the workers so that they would have enough of a supply so that they would continue on enthusiastically renovating the temple. So we won't imitate anything like that and start providing all types of substances for people working here. But it's interesting. It's interesting how Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was able to have such a vision that, no, the preaching must go on. And so in our own life, we have to think about how we are also meeting up to this. How are we... Let's take a look at our own lives and see all the possessions that we have, all the facilities that we've been provided. Are we... Shri Shri Radha Gopalananda Ki Jai... Are we using those facilities for our own enjoyment? And how much are we using those facilities for Krishna's enjoyment? Or for Krishna's service, for Krishna's pleasure? And really, this principle of yukta vairagya, or using everything in Krishna's service, doesn't only relate to possessions or wealth, But it also relates to even one's situation that one is in. Everyone in this room has a different situation, different life situation. And the expert devotee is able to find opportunities in whatever situation there is to serve Krishna. For example, Prabhupada once quoted Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj and said, "My spiritual master said that if I can, if I could," this is Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj speaking, he said, if, obviously he was a Naishtika Brahmachari, but Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj once said that if I could beget Krishna conscious children, then I am willing to have sexual union hundreds of times. So even here we're seeing that Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj is teaching the principle that whatever life situation you find yourself in, you can always find something, some opportunity, some unique way in which you can dovetail it and use it for Krishna. In whatever struggle you face in your own life, we can embrace that struggle and try to turn it into something positive for Krishna's service and for my journey towards Krishna. So this is real surrender, that the devotee is not so concerned about external situations. External situations in the material world are always changing. But the devotee is expert because no matter what is going on externally of them, no matter what situation they find themselves in, they're always able to somehow dovetail it towards Krishna. So this is the first aspect of surrender that Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj embodied in his life. Anukulyasya sankalpa, using everything for Krishna. And then we move on to the second one, pratikulyasya varjanam. But those things that cannot be used for Krishna, those things that I can't connect to Krishna, those things are rejected. In other words, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj would use printing presses, cars, opulent clothes, he would even roll the biddies, because all of these things were facilitating Krishna's service. But when his service didn't require any of those things, then he didn't engage with any of those things. So, like for example, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj in, I think it was 1905, at the age of 31, I'm coming up to 30 myself, so this really struck me. At the age of 31 in 1905, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj went to the holy dham and he built a bhajan kutir. And he decided that now he would engage in intense chanting of Krishna's names. So in 1905, at the age of 31, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj went to a bhajan kutir near Yogapith. You can actually go there now. It's very close to the house of Chandrasekhar Acharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's uncle. You can go there. And he built a very simple bhajan kutir. And in this bhajan kutir, he decided that for the next 9 years, what he would do is daily chant 300,000 names of Krishna, or 192 rounds. Obviously, we know Haridas Thakur was doing this. So in 1905, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj took up this vow, and every day he was chanting 192 rounds. He said that during this 9 years, because his plan was that, great plan he had, amazing, that in 9 years, if he chanted 192 rounds every day, then in 9 years he will have chanted 1 billion names of Krishna. So he went to his bhajan kutir, sat down, you know, very simple dwelling with his beads, and he started to chant Krishna's names. It's said that he had no bedding there. When he needed to take rest, he would simply just lie down on the floor and use his arm as a pillow. For his food, he took a chaturmasya vow. All he would do is take some rice, boil it in ghee, and simply have some grains of rice every day. And it said that at one point when the bhajan kutir broke a little bit and there was a hole in the roof, and obviously in the monsoon season then it would rain and water would seep through the roof, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was so detached that he didn't even bother to repair the roof. All he did was he got an umbrella and he put an umbrella over him and he just continued chanting. So then someone may hear all these things about the Rolls Royce cars and the lavish clothes and think that this sadhu is simply an enjoyer. But then if they don't see this other aspect of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj's character, the extreme detachment, then they will misunderstand the sadhu. So when his service was simply to chant Krishna's names, then he didn't engage with the material energy, then he didn't need to get involved with anything, then he lived very simply. And in this way, he also exhibited this, pratikul yasya varajanam, rejection of things that aren't anything to do with your service to Krishna. Actually, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj gave a very nice story on this. It's kind of like an analogy. He said, a man is walking up a hill. It's a very steep hill. So he's walking up the hill and he's becoming very tired. And then what he does is he comes across a man, and this man has some horses. So this person, you know, he's kind of a little lazy, he doesn't want to walk up the hill. So he comes up to this man, he says, if I give you some money, can you give me the horse so then I can go up the hill? So the man agrees, he gives him some money and he gets the horse. So now this man who's walking up the hill, he has a horse. So immediately as he jumps on the horse, ready to go up, as soon as that happens, this horse that he's just purchased gives birth to another horse. So he's thinking, great, I paid for one horse, and now I got two. So he's thinking, it's all great, and then so then he kicks the horse so that the horse starts moving, but when he kicks the horse just stands there. And then he realizes that this horse will not move forward because the baby horse still can't walk. So now he's just cursing and cursing, thinking, oh, you know, I bought this horse and now it's not even going to move and I need to get to the top of this hill. It's like... So then, because he's paid so much money for that horse, he doesn't want to simply get off the horse and walk again, so he thinks, I have to keep the horse. So then what he ends up doing is he picks up this horse that's on the ground, which is extremely heavy, and he carries the horse with him, gets on this other horse, and then starts going up. A very uncomfortable situation. More uncomfortable than the situation that he started with. Right? So now try to understand this analogy. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj is giving a very important lesson. In spiritual life, it's very difficult. It's an uphill struggle. There's so many obstacles on the path. So sometimes when we're going up this uphill, steep struggle in devotional life, what we try to do is try to find some material solution to our problems that we think will help us to continue. So I'm in devotional life and it's a struggle and everything, so let me get some name and fame, because that will make it easier for me to continue. Or I'm struggling in devotional life, let me go forward. Maybe I need to obtain some material possession and that will make it easier for me to continue. But what Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj is showing through this example is that if you try to solve your spiritual problems by obtaining material things, then all that will happen is you'll get that thing and for a moment you'll be happy thinking you got a very good deal. I'm spiritual, I'm in spiritual life and I still got all of these material facilities. But after some time it will just become a big burden. If you want, for example, I was thinking about name and fame because that's something I'm always looking for. It's like, you're in spiritual life and you're struggling, so you try to create some kind of persona of yourself. You want people to perceive you as a very advanced devotee. So then what you start doing is acting in very external ways so that people will perceive you to be very advanced. And then by doing that you get some honor and some respect. But then what happens after some time is you just can't maintain that. And it just becomes a big burden to maintain that image. Maintain that, you know, image of how you're such a great devotee, but actually in your heart you're not that advanced. So in this way, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj is showing through this story that we shouldn't try to fill the gaps in our lives by making material adjustments. If something, some material thing has no relation to Krishna, it should simply be rejected. And it shouldn't be, the devotee shouldn't think too much about it. So in this way, We see that Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj also showed this quality of pratikul yasya varajanam, or rejection of those things that aren't in connection with Krishna. The next two, rakshishyati ti vishvaso and goptritve varanam tata, I'll cover them together. Rakshishyati ti vishvaso means that the surrendered devotee sees that Krishna is his protector. That no one else is protecting me in this world, but Krishna is actually protecting me. And goptritve varanam tata means that one is seeing that Krishna is the maintainer and the who's providing everything in my life. So like this, we see that Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was always completely under Krishna's protection. Fearless, as Srila Prabhupada was called Abhe Charan, fearless, having taken shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj also embodied that fearlessness. Sachi Kishore Prabhu was giving class on Monday and he mentioned this incident that in 1925, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj took a parikram of devotees around Navadeep Mandal, many thousands of devotees. And obviously, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he couldn't stand, it said in his pranam prayers, Rupanuga Virudapa Siddhanta Dvanta Harine, he could not tolerate any deviation from the pure principles of bhakti. So at that time in the 1900s, there were many deviations, and Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was speaking out boldly against these people who were polluting the teachings of pure bhakti. He spoke out against the caste Goswamis who said that you can only be a Brahmin if you're born in a Brahmin family. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj smashed that idea by initiating people from all backgrounds, saying that if they develop the necessary qualifications, then they should be considered Brahmins. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj spoke out against Goswamis who were simply using the deities and the temple simply for material benefit, just to maintain themselves. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj would speak out against Sahajiyas who were taking the highest mellows of Krishna Bhakti in a very cheap way. So like this, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was speaking out boldly against many, many groups. So in 1925, when he took a group of devotees there, all these people who were against him, they decided that they were going to get their own back and attack Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj's group. So it said that in 1925, when they had this parikram, groups of dacoits came with bricks. And these bricks they were throwing at the devotees were bleeding, it was just complete chaos. It was just a completely, just a very gruesome sight. And it was getting so dangerous, some devotees were on the brink of death. And of course, the whole point of it was that they wanted to actually kill Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. So one brahmachari, Vinod Vihari, he had the presence of mind to quickly get Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj and take him to a secret place. And then what he did was he switched the clothes with Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. So he took Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj's saffron and he gave Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj's white cloth, and then they smuggled Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj out of that place so that he would be protected. But what was Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj's reaction to this? Of course, he was fearless, having taken shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. So even though there was so much trouble, what did Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj do? He didn't stop the parikram. All he did was he carried on, and the police provided 36 police officers to guard the whole parikram, and things went on. And Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said, "We are under Krishna's protection. We don't have to worry about any of these people who may provide opposition, people who may criticize. We are working for Krishna, and because we're under Krishna's protection, we must go on, we can continue, and no one should have any inhibitions about that." And at that time he made that very statement, famous statement. He said, "The jackals may howl, but the caravan will pass." The idea that people may criticize and give opposition, but Krishna's service should never be stopped. Like this, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was completely fearless. In fact, there were many death threats to Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. It said actually that one police officer, he even came to Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj and he said, "You know, Swami Maharaj, there's been a few death threats. We've received 25,000 pounds, 25,000 rupees to kill you." So the police officer actually came forward and admitted to Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj that people were bribing him to actually kill Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. And then the police officer looked at Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj and he said, "Anyway, it's not that we don't take bribes. I mean, we do take bribes, but you're a sadhu, so, you know, we can't do anything." But he said, "Swami Maharaj, be careful. There's people who are after you, after your life." But Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he was undaunted. He continued. In fact, it said that one devotee, they were so scared that they actually gave Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj one huge man. His name was Mochi Singh. He was a Sikh gentleman, very big guy. It said that he would eat 28 to 30 chapatis in one sitting. So it said that Mochi Singh, the devotees, they were so scared for Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj's security that they gave him this bodyguard, Mochi Singh. And Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he allowed this guy to be his bodyguard. And later on, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said, "Actually, I don't need this bodyguard, but I'm just keeping him around because it gives me, you know, people then see me as an important person. And because they see me as an important person, then I can give them Krishna's message. They have some respect for me, so I can give them Krishna's message." So he didn't have this bodyguard because he was scared or because he needed some protection. He was under Krishna's protection. But he used it in Krishna's service. "Okay, people give me some prestige, so, well, you know, I'll carry on." So like this, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was fearless. Fearless, having taken shelter at Krishna's feet. He would also teach the highest principles that we should always realize that Krishna is our maintainer. That Krishna is our real, as we say, Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Pranadan, that Krishna is the real mother and father. Krishna is maintaining our life. It said that when young men would join Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj's ashram in the Gaudiya Math, then as we know, when young men join the ashram, then parents become a little, not so happy. Of course, they had their desires for their son. So what would happen is when these young men would leave their homes, then the parents would come searching for their sons. And when Bhaktisiddhanta would find out that one parent was coming to pick up his son, then Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj would hide that boy under a bed or hide him upstairs or just hide him. And then when the parent would come, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj would say, "Well, I don't know where he is." And like this, and then the devotees, the boys who had joined the ashram, they would be very bewildered that, you know, "Oh, my parents, they're hurting so much and they're crying." And then Bhaktisiddhanta would tell them in very strong words, he would say, "Your parents may be crying, but these tears, these are the tears of Maya. Through these tears, Maya is pulling you to hell." Very strong statements he would make. And he would tell these boys that actually your real mother and father, Krishna Pita, Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita. Krishna is your real mother and father. Krishna is your real maintainer. Just surrender to Krishna. Now I guess I should qualify that. It's not that Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was against any kind of family life. But when he saw that one was coming and one was ready to give up everything and one was ready to sacrifice their life only to serve Krishna, then he would do the necessary to allow the devotee to traverse that path and give whatever support he could. So like this, he explained that to these young boys that yes, Krishna is your real father. Krishna is maintaining you. And he explained this principle that if you surrender to Krishna, if you give everything in your life to Krishna, then you will never be the loser. Because Krishna will provide for you. We have to have that faith, that strong shraddha, that Krishna is our protector and Krishna is our maintainer. So like this, we're seeing through the life of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj that he was showing this, of how we should develop this mentality within us. And then we move on to the next item of surrender, Atmanikshepa. And Atmanikshepa means full self-surrender. When you read through the Shastras, you see these different words coming up again and again. Atmanikshepa, Atmanivedan, Atmasamarpan. These words are coming up, the Acharyas are mentioning them again and again. And basically what it means is that if we analyze our life, everyone has to analyze their own life, I've analyzed my life, I can see there is immense self-centeredness there. We are struggling with this self-centeredness. And what real self-surrender means, it means to give up one's self-centeredness. It means to start seeing life not from our point of view, but from the point of view of Krishna. Like I give you an example. I was on, we were doing traveling Sankirtan in the Midlands last week. Anyway, so I was out on the street. I think it might have been Loughborough. And as I was distributing books, one man came up to me and he looked very intense, you know. It's like, he looked angry, like I could see him coming from a mile and he just looked angry, you know. So anyway, so then he walked right up to me, and as he walked up to me, his face was getting more and more and more and more intense. So I thought I was kind of bracing myself and, you know, getting mentally prepared for what was to come. And he just came up to me and right in my face, very close. He was an old Indian man. And he came right up to me. No hello, no nothing. He just looked at me and in a very intense voice, he looked at me and he goes, "Why don't you just get a life?" That's nice. He looks at me and he goes, "Why don't you just get a life?" Anyway, then I just kind of held myself back, you know. Actually, in my mind, I was laughing, you know, but I didn't respond to him. I said, maybe it's better if you continue with what you're doing and I'll continue with what I'm doing. But then later on, I was thinking about his statement, get a life. And I thought, actually, what a devotee is trying to do is the very opposite of that. Like in the Gita, Krishna says in the 10th chapter, he's talking about the pure devotees. He says, "Majjita madgata prana, bodayantas parashparam, kattayantas chamam nityam, dusyanti cha ramanti cha." Krishna says this about the pure devotees. He says, their thoughts are always dwelling in me. And then Krishna says this line, he says, "Madgata prana." And if you analyze the Sanskrit, madgata prana, that means literally the life of the pure devotee, Krishna is saying, their life enters into my life. So actually what we're trying to do in devotional life is actually give up our own life and enter into Krishna's life. So this man, he came up to me and he said, "Get a life." And I was thinking, actually what I'm trying to do is give up my life and enter into Krishna's life. Because, you know, it's like we have all these plans. Again, I don't want to generalize. I have all these plans for all my, you know, for my life. When we sit down before we take rest at night, all these images come up in your mind about how perfect your life is going to be, how you're going to do this and that, and all the images of how, you know, everything you want is going to happen. And we have all this great, perfect picture about how my life's going to turn out. But actually what the devotee is trying to do is Atmanikshepa, give up their own life and just enter into Krishna's life. If we think about our life, think about your life in the last year. Think about all the desires that you've had, all the decisions that you've made, all the actions that you've taken. How many of those decisions that you made in the last year, how many of those decisions were based on your pleasure? How many of those decisions were based on your comfort? How many of those decisions were based on what you wanted to do? And how many of your decisions were based on what Krishna wants you to do? How many of your decisions were based on what will please Krishna? If you make an analysis, it's very eye-opening to see that still we're practicing devotional life, but there's still so much of our own interests that we're looking after. So obviously in the conditioned state we realize you can't be completely transcendental and just do what Krishna wants. But more and more in our life we should be seeing that more and more I'm making decisions based not on what is good for me, but what is pleasing to Krishna and what will give Krishna satisfaction. This is the journey, or this is the way in which the devotee is moving. So therefore, and Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj showed this in his life, that he expected the highest surrender of the devotees. Like one devotee, he was an expert preacher, and he would go out, and at one point he was doing a tour and he was doing many pandal programs. And he would go to all these pandal programs and thousands of people would come. They would distribute prasadam, thousands of books. I mean, it was a big success. After his whole preaching tour, he came back to Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj and he came back to the room where Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was sitting. And then he started to give his preaching report. We did this many programs, this many thousands of people came, we lectured on these topics, this many plates of prasadam were distributed, this many books went out. And he gave the full successful report of the whole preaching activity. And then Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj just looked at him and he said, "You have not understood." And this devotee was thinking, "What do you mean? I mean, this is all for you, I'm offering this at your feet." Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said, "No. You have not understood. You have not understood that you are mine." He said, "You haven't understood that you're simply my property. You go around and you do all of these things and it's all very nice, but still in your heart, you haven't given up sense gratification. You haven't understood that you're my property." It's incredible. Level of surrender. So therefore in our own lives you can see there's two levels of surrender. One is an external type of surrender where you follow all the principles, you may externally do what your authorities tell you to do. In other words, externally you're doing everything you need to do in terms of surrender. But then there's a deeper level of surrender, which is an internal surrender, where you're actually giving up, you're really giving your heart. It's like you can do something externally and still not give your heart. So that's a level of surrender is there, but it's not the deepest type of surrender. But what Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was teaching throughout his life and throughout his instructions, that one has to get to the deepest level of surrender, where we're only seeing Krishna. We have to get to that point in our life where we're only seeing Krishna. Like one sannyasi was saying, that recently he went to an airport. So they asked him, aisle seat or window seat? So he said, "All right, I'll take a window seat." So then he got onto the plane and he was sitting by the window seat and the plane took off and he was looking out, you know, all the wonderful scenery that you can see from a plane so high up. And then he opened the Nectar of Devotion, which is what he was reading at that time. And he opened it to a page where it was describing the gopis. And then there was a statement there, "The gopis never wanted to see anything except Krishna." And then he was thinking, here I am, you know, in this plane, in a window seat, looking out at all this, you know, scenery. But the gopis, they didn't want to see anything. They only wanted to see Krishna. And then he was thinking, when in my life will I also develop that kind of vision, where in my life I'm only seeing Krishna? Like also, last week when I was in Leicester, we were at one, someone's home, and that is a very nice picture. It's a huge picture of Radha Shyam Sundar, Vrindavan. And I was chanting japa in basically back and forth from that picture. So like this huge picture of like Radha Shyam Sundar, but obviously it was framed and it had this glass in front of the picture. So you can also see your reflection in it. So I was chanting japa going back and forth. And when I was chanting towards the picture, if you imagine that picture, that I was going towards that picture, I was just looking at myself. And then it happened again, second time, third time, I was looking back and I thought, I'm right in front of Shyam Sundar, Radha Shyam Sundar. Wonderful picture. I'm dressed in dhoti, tilak, I have my beads, I'm even chanting Krishna's names. But still, when I walk there, I'm only seeing myself. And then I was realizing that you can practice devotional life, you can do all of these things, but you can still be so selfish within your own heart that you're only seeing your own comfort and your own desires, and everything's just around you. So here we see that Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj is showing the highest level of surrender. Atmanikshepa. I'm going to tie up now because it's getting late. And then the final item of surrender is humility. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj would always teach that the surrendered devotee is humble. That there's no question of knowledge if there's no humility. We read that in the 13th chapter of the Gita, Amanitvam Adambitvam, that Krishna is listing different items of knowledge, and the first item of knowledge he lists is humility. Because if there's no humility, there's no real knowledge. There is no real knowledge if there's no humility. Like one person came to Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj and said, he was a very prominent figure in India, and he came to Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj and he said, I have many questions for you. You know, I need to spend some time with you and discuss these questions. And even though he's a very prominent figure, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj just looked at him and he said, I'm very busy, but there's some brahmacharis there in the pujari room. Go and ask them. So this man looked at Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj and he said, no, they're very simple. I need to speak to you. You're the acharya. Maharaj said, no, you just go there. Go to the pujari room and speak to them. So then this man, he went to the pujari room. They went into the pujari room, the brahmacharis were there, and they were engaging in a maha cleanup, so they were wiping all the pots and shining all the paraphernalia. And then he said, I've got a few questions, can I ask? And the brahmachari said, yeah, you can ask, but can you just help us first? I mean, we're doing this maha cleanup, maybe you just help out, and then when that's finished, we can have a discussion. So like he was a bit, he didn't really want to do it, but he thought, anyway, I'm here now. So then he rolled up his sleeves and he started cleaning. And then he really got into it. He got into the cleaning, he was shining all the paraphernalia. Finally, after a few hours, he came out of the room and Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was there. And Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he said, so did you ask the brahmacharis your questions? And the man said, no. And Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj looked at him and he said, well, why not? And the man said, you know, when I was in there doing that menial service for Krishna and really engaging in that activity with my heart, actually, Krishna revealed all the answers from within. So like this, we're seeing that when there's a humble service attitude, then everything becomes revealed to that devotee. One devotee came to Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj and he said, can you tell me what is the position of the spiritual world? And he was asking all these intricate questions about Vaikuntha and the spiritual world. And Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj just looked at the devotee and he just said, just meditate on Trinadapi Sunichena and you'll find the answers. In other words, you've got to be humble. You can't just... this knowledge is transcendental knowledge. It's awakened within the heart, and therefore one has to prepare the heart with some humility before one can actually understand all the esoteric truths about spiritual life. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was very bold. He was very bold, but he was also very humble. And he said that even when his own disciples would come to him and pay obeisances, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj would return with pranams and say to them, Daso Smi. You're paying obeisances to me, but Daso Smi, I may be your spiritual master, but I'm acting only in the capacity of your servant. So like this, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj also exhibited very deep humility. So like this, there's many, many pastimes. But we're seeing in the life of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj that there is all these six items of surrender are very clear to see in Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj's life. And we can also contemplate how we can also become similarly situated. I'm just going to end on one final point, that I think it would be incomplete to have a class on Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj and not mention preaching. Because today what we're trying to do is not only remember the glories of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, but also trying to get his mercy. And therefore we have to understand what the deep desire of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was in order to access and obtain his mercy. And so, like I'll read one thing, Prabhupada. This is in 1961, Prabhupada was attending the Vyasa Puja of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. And all his god brothers were there. And most of them were senior to him. There were sannyasis and other senior members. But they invited Srila Prabhupada to come up and give the speech. And then Prabhupada, this is what he said in his speech at Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj's Vyasa Puja. Very powerful point he's making. Prabhupada said, "Now all of you are returning here on his order to worship him on Vyasa Puja day. All together you are engaged in worship of your spiritual master." And then Prabhupada made a heavy point. He's looking out at all his god brothers and he says, "But a festival of fruits and flowers does not constitute worship. One who serves the Guru's message really worships him. The service of the message is the real transcendental vibration." So Prabhupada said a festival of fruits and flowers is not the real worship, but the real worship is to serve the order of the Guru. And the order of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, the deep desire was to spread Krishna consciousness to every town and village. And so we have to really meditate on how we can contribute to this very deep desire of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. It's an emergency situation in the world. Like obviously Haiti, 200,000 people, just like that in one catastrophe. But then also we're in Leicester, we're doing some research, and it's the 2nd of February today? So we're about 1 month into 2010. Now let me give you some statistics here. 2010 is just 1 month old. In this 1 month of 2010, 74,000 people in this world have committed suicide. 505,000 people in this world, in this 1 month, have died of cancer. 84,000 people have died in a road accident. 42,000 mothers have died while giving birth. 210,000 people have died of hunger. So Haiti is a disaster zone, no doubt. But the Shastras are explaining that this entire world is one big disaster zone. Because this is happening every single day in the material world. And therefore, the devotees see the urgency of the need to give Krishna consciousness to others. And to really spread this message far and wide. And that is really how we can access the mercy of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. So on this day we're praying, as we sung this song, Krishna Se Tomar. We're praying to Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, you have Krishna, you have purchased Krishna. Krishna Dite Paro, so therefore please give Krishna to me. Please allow Krishna to manifest in my heart. Tomara Shakti Ache, you have that power, you're empowered to do that. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Amito Kangal, I am very fallen. I have all bad qualities. Basically, I can't get my life together. Therefore, Krishna, Krishna, Boli, I'm just chanting Krishna's names hopelessly. Daitava Pache Pache, and I'm running behind you, desperately seeking your mercy so that I can actually surrender my life and become closer to Krishna. So we pray like this. Prabhupada said, the father is a little strict, but the grandfather is very merciful. So Prabhupada said, I may be a little strict with you, But you can all pray to Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj because he's your spiritual grandfather and he'll bestow you wonderful blessings. So like this, we're praying for the mercy of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, praying that we can become surrendered souls in this life and dedicate everything to Krishna. Om Vishnupad Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Bhaktivinda Ki Jai.